Now, the period during which the Ionians and Lydians were under Persian rule has left behind scant archaeological material. Even the satrapal center at Sardis has little preserved from this period. And of course, in part, the city was destroyed in the Ionian Revolt, but nevertheless, we don't have much evidence of the Persian city of Sardis. But there is record for what life was like, at least for some people, under Persian domination from Lydia. And this comes in the form of a series of Lydian tombs that were discovered in eastern Lydia at a place called Ushak, which is about 75 miles from Sardis to the east. Now, these tombs, 9 of them are known, were tumuli, that is, artificial mounds with a tomb set inside, a tomb chamber made of stone. Some of are made of marble, some are made of limestone. Now, sadly, all of these were looted in the 1960s, and I'm even more sad to report that the looted contents were smuggled to the United States and purchased by the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. These objects stayed in New York for some 30 years until 1993, when the grave goods were given back to Turkey. It was a big celebration on the part of the Turks to regain their patrimony. And through painstaking research, Turkish archaeologists have been able to reconstruct which objects have come from which tomb. Now, all of the tombs that are from Ushak date to between 520 and 480 BC. So just around the time of the Ionian Revolt, just around the time that the Persians invaded Greece twice. And so it's at this very pivotal period of history for this part of the world under Persian rule. And they reflect a very, very wealthy society. Scholars aren't certain whether the tomb owners were Lydian or perhaps Lydian with some Persian intermarriage, because some of the objects do have Persian elements in them. It would seem most likely that these tombs belonged to Anatolians who favored Persian culture. And this alone is very interesting because these, of course, are people conquered by the Persians, and yet they have Persian artifacts in their tombs. Now, as I mentioned, the burial chambers within the tumuli were of limestone, sometimes of marble, and they were reached by a passageway or a dromos that ran through the tumulus. Some of the tomb chambers had what we would call false doors that stood at the head of the dromos that perhaps symbolized a door into the afterlife. Many of the tombs were painted, and trace survival of the paint shows that many of the tombs had images of servants as if to serve the tomb owners for eternity. One of them had a male servant and a female servant, each on opposite walls, carrying an olive branch as if some sort of ceremony for the dead. Another tomb had a wall painting that showed a row of servants bringing goods to the tomb. And unfortunately, this wall is very fragmentary and poorly preserved, but one of the bearers is holding stacks of cloth as if to bring clothing to the tomb. Many of the tombs had stone couches, or kline, that's the Greek word for a funerary couch, and these were very elaborate. Like some of the walls, these too were painted, some with animal hunts of men on horseback hunting down wild animals like deer and lions, and some were painted with fantastical monsters like sphinxes or other composite creatures. A few of these kline, or couches, had elaborate legs, and one of them actually had legs that were in the form of sphinxes, these lions with female heads. So these were quite elaborate things, and we have to imagine that the deceased would have been laid on these beds after an elaborate funeral. Now, we talked quite a bit about the funeral we saw in Phrygia at the tomb, the great tumulus at Gordion. And I talked about the fact that there was a great funerary feast where people drank alcoholic liquid and ate lentils and goat and such fine foods. It's very likely the same kind of thing went on in these tombs as well. Traces of ivory appliqué found in a few of the tombs indicate that there may have been wooden furniture in the tombs, and again, we found that amongst the Phrygians.